This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I don't know. I kind of thought, Todd, that maybe because of this segment, we should go with insurance. Just me.
Probably beverages and insurance, both of them.
Oh. Yeah. We'll go with Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Multiple insurance needs, especially when you're trying to protect your kids when they're out there using power tools they shouldn't be using. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we bring in the Supervisor of Cheap Labor, Matt Cotrillo.
Steve, I have been waiting since 11:30 Monday night to chat with you because, let's just say, it is needed this week. I've been chomping at the bit. I'm not even worried about trying to get the yard going with the two of them out there. We got a bigger fish to fry right now.
Yes, but the grass is now up to little Luke's backside. All right, so what are your thoughts on the tremendous amount of pressure Kirk Cousins was under, especially in the final drive?
I could have done the same thing. I could have led them down on a touchdown drive.
Bold.
I mean, that's... But even that, there's still bigger problems with this team. And it's a guy that should not even be coaching this team right now, and that's one Nick Sirianni.
But as I said on X following the game,
Monday night,
when they went to the Super Bowl, you were like, you know, the head of the committee to make him the grand marshal of the parade.
When you have this epic collapse that is now continuing two games into a new season, I'm sorry. You've lost it completely. Saying something after how good that season was in 2022 and just falling a few plays short of another Super Bowl. I don't care if it's week two. The clock is ticking already on Nick Sirianni in my book.
I mean, he's Alpo to you.
It doesn't matter. I'm done with him. He's done. He's toast.
He speaks highly of you.
He cannot coach this team.
He speaks highly of you.
Well, that's good for him. But you know what? I don't need to worry about speaking highly of me. I need him to worry about coaching this team correctly and, like, maybe making a good decision or two in a game for once. Because that didn't happen Monday night. And because it didn't happen, this team lost this game. This is purely on him. This is not on Saquon Barkley. This is not on Jalen Hurts. This is not totally on the lack of defense that there is in Philadelphia Eagles defense right now. This is on Nick Sirianni, and the clock is ticking on him already, on his second chance that he has been given. At least I'm giving him because I have no other choice to. When you everything that happened last year, and then you see the same things happening again this year when you collapse epically in the final minute 39. It's not like this is over the sense of a half or a quarter. This was within the final 2 minutes of a game. You were literally a play or two away from winning the game and going to 2-0, and you lose said game. I'm sorry. The clock is ticking on him right now because it's the same things over and over. 4th and 4, you kick the field goal on the second drive of the game. You do that, we're not having this conversation. On that same drive, Saquon Barkley is literally getting first down after first down, and you go to freaking Kenny Gainwell? The crowd literally cheered because they wanted Barkley back in there. If you kept with Saquon Barkley, you probably get a touchdown on that drive. You don't have to make a decision to kick the field goal or not because you're put the ball in the end zone. Dallas Goedert, one target the entire game, and said we're going to Brennan Covey and Grant Calcaterra. Devontae Smith, they took him two drives to get going. Once again, this is Nick Sirianni. This is not just him. These are many coaches in this league that have done this before. When you try to outsmart the opponent instead of just sticking to what you do best. You didn't have A.J. Brown, but you still had Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, Jahan Dotson, Barkley. You just keep feeding to those guys, and if they take them away, then you make your adjustments. You don't just assume that they're going to take them away and you just game plan for these other guys to try to get you down the field. I mean, they finally did that with Devontae Smith because he still had a pretty good game. Oh, look at that. When you go to your right guys, they're going to get you down the field. Saquon Barkley didn't touch the ball enough in this game. I don't care if he had the drop pass. And I'm necessarily, and I don't mind the call. It says Saquon Barkley's going to catch the ball, plain and simple. To me, the biggest coaching mistake for Nick Sirianni in that game Monday night was not kicking the field goal because he can't decide whether he wants to go for it or not. And I think the decision is if he wants to go for something, it's because he's too cocky and he's not mature enough to make a coaching decision in that time because he knew, like, you know what, he was frustrated that they got stopped and he wanted to go for it instead of being smart. You know what, let's just take the points and move on from there. You can't do that in the NFL. I thought you maybe was one thing you could have learned about when you were humbled losing 6 out of 7 last year. Is trying to be cocky in the NFL and just thinking you can if you want to get your way, then you're just going to get it. It doesn't work like that. You will get beaten soundly, and that's exactly what's happened with this football team. Nick Sirianni cannot coach this team. Now, I guess he hasn't lost the locker room yet. I saw a report from Derek Gunn about that. But guess what? You got the Saints looming Sunday on the road. Then you got Tampa after that. I'm sorry. I think the Eagles are going to get blown out these next 2 weeks. And then what happens when you're 1-3, you've blown a game, and then you get blown out twice on the road? Sure, the bye week's there. That could help. But it's still not going to be a good feeling. So then how do you get the team out of the hole then, Nick? You're not going to. That's the answer. I don't know who's going to win this division, but the NFC East stinks out loud this year. Dallas is worried about the offseason and only in the offseason, and then when they come on the field, they just totally choke in the spotlight. Washington, rebuilding. Giants, a mess. Eagles, a little bit of everything. That's how the NFC East is. So the Eagles could still wind up winning the division by 9-10 games, which is actually what I said, by the way, at the beginning of the season. And guess what? The NFC South is really good, except for Carolina.
So you're saying they'd win 9 or 10 games at the beginning of the season, so thus they're meeting expectations?
In my book, yes. Everybody, not everybody else is. Everybody else, for some reason, was saying that they're going to be Super Bowl contenders and we're going to win 12, 13, 14 games. I didn't see that. I said this team's going to be a 10-win team at best because there was too many question marks on the defensive side, which clearly it's even worse than I thought it was going to be. And you have just the whole atmosphere of what happened last year. This was not going to be a Super Bowl caliber team coming into the season. I don't care what other weapons they had on offense.
So you say they could win 9 or 10 games?
They'll be lucky if they get to 9 wins at this point.
Yeah, you said they could win 9 or 10 games and they're meeting expectations and you're mad?
It's because of the way they're losing games is my problem right now.
Well, they've lost a game. Not games.
While they're playing, they're going to lose games.
So angry.
There's no way. I mean, I will eat my words next week if they win one or both of these games, but there is no way that they are beating the New Orleans Saints next week.
Todd?
I will be flabbergasted if the Eagles beat the Saints this week.
Todd, on a scale of 1 to 10 on the bitterness scale, where do you rate this?
Not quite straight cocoa beans, but pretty bitter.
Ooh. You've often touted the genius of Howie Roseman. The Falcons left town, and on Tuesday morning, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter were still trying to get to Kirk Cousins, and the Falcons had already left.
Getting to him now, right now, because this is not just Nick Sirianni either, though, as I said before, he shouldn't be coaching this team. Howie Roseman, to me, is in a lot of trouble, too. Because let me just start with Jalen Carter. Jordan Davis is another story, but Jalen Carter is this. The biggest reason why I didn't like him was all of his off-the-field antics. Obviously, you didn't like the whole package, and I get that. But my big thing was all the off-the-field issues that he's had, and his character was a big red flag for me for being a first-round pick. And already, you're having issues with him in this season where he was benched for the first series because he, quote, had hiccups, according to Vic Fangio today. Jeff McClain reported he missed some sort of team meeting or team activity, whatever it was. This can't be happening. This is the reason why you don't take chances on guys like this. I don't care how talented they are. Character is the number one thing you still have to look at when it comes to NFL prospects. And this guy didn't have it at all. There were so many red flags, and you still took a chance on him. And I said at the time when I was still on the show, Steve, that the Eagles couldn't afford to take that type of risk right now because they're in win-now mode. And guess what? Now you've set the franchise back a little bit because you've got no depth at all on the defensive line. I thought maybe coming into the season you had some depth. There's no depth at all. And this Bryce Huff signing looks like a complete disaster because he's literally done nothing. At least Jalen Carter's gone in the backfield once in a while. It didn't happen in this game, but it happened in Brazil. Bryce Huff hasn't even recorded a stat yet. He hasn't recorded a stat yet. And look at all the money that you're paying him. You might as well have tried to keep Hassan Reddick. And maybe you can still get him from the Jets. I don't know how that's going to go. That's a different topic. We'll see where I'm going with this. Jordan Davis. I wasn't jumping up and down about the pick, but I didn't think it was terrible at the time, but I thought at the time that the Eagles picked him that there was better talent on the board, especially in the secondary. And so far, it's proven not to be the case. He's being outplayed by Thomas Booker IV, who literally was the reason why the Falcons were slowed down in any case with the run game. So he needs to get more stats over Jordan Davis right now. I don't care if he was a first-round pick. You guys have the best guys out there right now. So, no, Howie Roseman, to me, is not getting away with this at all. Absolutely not.
Maybe Bryce Huff didn't quite understand that wearing zero is a number. It's not your production.
Maybe the case is. I mean, he is from the Jets, so it is, you know, it is what it is there. And it also tells me this, too, that he can't play on the stages of big markets. He obviously couldn't handle the New York stage, and so far he can't handle the Philadelphia stage.
Well, let me ask you, though, about Quinyon Mitchell. I've been extremely impressed in the two games I've watched that he knows how to play, even as a young player.
Oh, yeah. Even other than the holding penalty against the Packers in Brazil, he's been brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The only other nag I'll give him is he needs to catch the football. He needs to finish plays. There's been two times now in each game where he's had a chance to make a play, made a brilliant break, did everything right, just didn't catch the football. You got to catch the football and make the interception. That's my only real gripe with him. But other than that, he's been brilliant, and that looks like a solid pick.
As I've said to others before, when we see a defensive back in practice drop a ball, I look at him and go, that's why he's not at wideout. All right, so right.
There you go.
Your Yankees have become the first team to clinch a playoff spot, which has now set you up for massive disappointment.
Shocking, isn't it? So no, that's all. It won't set me up for massive disappointment because I found it shocking that they are the first team to clinch a spot. And then you know what? They're playing great baseball at the right time, which was to me is my only hope that they can do something in the postseason. But even that, I still have pretty low expectations for this team because they just haven't been consistent enough. If the Yankees are going to be making a run, a deep run in the postseason, two things have to happen. Well, three things have to happen. They need to get more production out of the lineup overall. Judge and Soto have to be leading the way, so that's kind of a 1A, 1B type thing. And Carlos Rodon and Nestor Cortez need to be solid 2-3 guys behind Garrett Cole. And so far, they've all been pitching pretty good. Nestor was brilliant last night.
Yeah, I thought Cole,
if those three things happen, they got a chance. But I don't know if those three things have been, because they haven't been consistent enough all year, I don't know if that's going to happen. I really don't.
I thought Cole, when he gave up the 7 runs to the Red Sox in 4 innings, really kind of blew me away.
I still think he'll be okay in the postseason, but he has not been great lately.
Yeah,
but I'm that's still not the least of my concerns as of right now. If it becomes a problem in the postseason, well, then we have to have another conversation again of where Brian Cashman's led this team.
Todd, I don't want to stop him. He's on a roll.
Did you guys see how the Yankees won last night?
I think that
because of a bat that got flipped on a strikeout, and Austin Wells made a tremendous play, heads-up baseball play.
Yeah,
that was amazing. I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
No.
By the way, speaking of the Mariners, my good friend Dave Sims might be your new Yankees radio guy next year.
I did see that. Yes. I haven't heard him, so I really
Dave.
Can't say if he's good or not. But
Dave is
that'd be a cool story. At least he's from New York.
Dave is a gem and a half. I can't begin to tell you what a great announcer Dave is. Dave is great.
You know, while we're on this subject, I get a chance to talk about this last week. When the Yankees announced that John Sterling was going to come back to the postseason. Mm-hmm. And I love John, but I have a major problem with that, because you had the three guys, including Ricky Ricardo, friend of the show, who have been kind of on the rotating basis.
Yeah.
That's not fair to them at all. Now, I know Ricky, at least knowing him from the time of the show, he's not like that. He'd be totally fine. He welcomed John back into the booth with open arms and go back to the Spanish broadcast, but to me, those three guys deserve to be doing the postseason. I mean, this ended on his terms, John's terms. He said he got tired and he left abruptly. That's on him. I'm sorry. That's on him. If he wanted to have the kind of ceremonious ending that apparently the Yankees were looking for, well, they should have thought about this like maybe during the offseason and not spring training, couple series into the season. All of a sudden, I'm tired, I'm done. I don't care how old you are. You have to have that. You guys have to be on. Everybody has to be on the same page with that before the regular season starts.
I'm sorry.
I have a major problem with that.
What is your game tomorrow?
We are also doing Lewisburg and Warrior Run tomorrow, which I am very excited about. 2-4-0 teams, as Greg talked about. Actually, I had him on my show this week too. He was tremendous, and I think it's going to be a really fascinating matchup. I'm really looking forward to it in Turbotville tomorrow.
Cool. Well, I hope this made you feel better. I don't think it did anything for the audience, but I'm sure. I hope this made you feel better.
It did. Yes. This felt much better, and now I feel like I can finally move on from the disastrous ending and kind of cross my fingers while I try to watch this game on Sunday afternoon in New Orleans.
Now, do you watch the game while the kids are out with the power tools?
It kind of depends. If they want to be out there and I can keep an eye on while I'm watching the game, then sure.
I could watch the game. What the heck? You're locked in on the game. Look at how during the commercial break. Still running. Good.
No broken bones, no blood. Yeah, we're good.
Thank God for their mother.
Finger check, boys.
Or if I have to, then I'll put the game on my phone and then put it on our swing set, and then I can watch as I'm outside with them too. So either way, we make it work.
All of a sudden, Hertz throws another interception. He pushes the swing and flinks around. It's like, boy, I'll tell you.
Mark, even Mark is saying fire Sirianni, except it kind of says like fire Sirianni.
God, get the kid to enunciate, will you? All right, come on.
We're working on that.
Oh. Probably already understands what the word hate means. All right, so. Lisa, you're a saint. All right, thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Very interesting segment.
Always my pleasure.
All right. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over 12 grand, and they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best new inventory. Get the pre-owned inventory. That may be fitting your budget, and they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. Give it the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Really eases your buying process. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Don't forget about the service department. Inspections, routine, difficult to handle at all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, almost Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Get back to the NCAA in a moment. Detroit Lions coach Dan Campbell is selling his suburban Detroit home to get more privacy. So there's plenty of space on 2 acres. The home is beautiful. Just that people figured out where we lived when we lost. He didn't elaborate, but Fox 2 in Detroit reported that Campbell's home address was leaked to the public, and he and his family became the victim of pranks and harassment after tough Lions losses, including the NFC Championship game. The Campbell family filed police reports. Bloomfield Township Police Department released a statement saying, in part, that it's committed to the safety of all our residents. Harassment of any kind will not be tolerated. We hope everyone, including fans, will respect the privacy of individuals and families. They did list the home for $4.5 million this week, and a deal was pending within 24 hours. And this is, remember Igor Larionov? Who played for the Team Russia, Soviet Union, and the Detroit Red Wings. It's his old home. This is all wrong. And the Campbell family, by the way, has already moved into their new home. This is all wrong. I'm sorry. Why do you think so many coaches in college football send their children? Because, you know, most, I mean, there are younger NFL coaches, but they send them to private schools. Why? Why? So their kids don't get harassed at school if something doesn't go right. Kids have nothing to do with it. Family has nothing to do with it. It's stuff like this I see, and it just, That's all wrong. And as I mentioned before, I'd like to know the people doing the harassing. Are they just mad because they're fans, or are they mad because they gambled?
Both.
Yeah.
In the same person, probably.
Right.
I mean, this is certainly not a defense, but it's also much easier to find those home addresses now.
But it's all wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, a wife and children should not have to endure stuff like that. They shouldn't have to. And don't tell me it comes with the territory. He's the coach, okay? If you want to, I don't know if Dan Campbell has a radio show or not, but if you want to confront him on a radio show with a question, fine. You want to boo them when they're coaching the game? Fine. But you don't do that. You don't do that. I don't.
In this day and age, do you think Joe could have lived in town the way he did? I kind of feel like he would have had to been a little more rural in this day and age.
That's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah, that one I can't answer. Not in the least. Because I know, you know, I think almost everybody knew where he lived. I don't know. It's... people are very outspoken now in their opinions. There's nothing wrong with having an opinion. You can respectfully disagree with an opinion. You can back up your opinion with facts. I mean, sometimes there are some opinions that are flat out wrong. And I haven't said anything about... But I've had people give me their opinions as to what they think is wrong with KJ Winston, and not one person has had it right. Like, okay. Now, it's, you know, but I haven't told them what it is either, so... Because James mentioned it last night, you know. So I'm talking about today, people have said something to me. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. No, probably not. No, probably not.
They didn't even show him limping off the field in the game. They just said he left the field. How would you even guess?
There are people that have gone back and looked at tapes and are trying to guess what it is.
Yeah, well.
And I'm like, just don't do that. Don't make fools of yourselves. Okay? All right? Just don't do that. Okay? Just feel badly for the young man who's a terrific player and a great kid. Great young man. You know? But, like, so there are times where there are opinions that are wrong. But for the most part, when you're just delivering an opinion on something, you can respectfully disagree, but going to somebody's house? Really? You're that upset? That mad? I think the Detroit Lions have been in two NFC championship games since 1957. He got you there last year. He can't be that much of a dope.
When you were saying that, I was just thinking to myself, imagine if they were bad.
I know. Suddenly, out of nowhere, he's dealing with a fan base that I'm happy, by the way, has expectations. But, you know, again, a few bad apples, and it's only a few, ruin it for everybody, including the family. Ah, boy. I don't know. Stuff like that's wrong. You know, and I know of coaches that have moved their kids out of public school.
I don't. My kids would not be going to public school if I was a big time college coach.
No, and it has nothing to do with money. Has nothing to do with money. Zero. Nothing to do with money. Oh yeah, oh, you got his kid in the private school. There's a reason. Like some of these people have people in private. They don't need to be in a public school getting harassed when something doesn't go right. You know, and that's why when I see coaches, pro, college, even politicians, for goodness sakes, putting their kids in private schools, not because they're being, you know, not because they're being arrogant. Sometimes it's the best thing for the child. They don't need this. Who needs this? Nobody. Well. We were talking earlier about the Tennessee 10% fee. Tennessee is interesting. Because, remember, just a few years ago, they were down on their luck, down and out. And right now they have 15,000 fans on a waiting list for season tickets. Now, their season ticket number is 72,000. Now, I don't know if that includes their student tickets. Penn State with student tickets has a season ticket base of 94,000, including the students. And Tennessee, they say, is 72 with 15,000 on a waiting list. Well, they didn't have a waiting list what, 5 years ago? They were averaging like 87,000-88,000 fans a game, which is still tremendous, but that's still 14,000 empty seats. Now things are going well. Let's give Josh Heupel a lot of credit. But there's also other areas where, as an athletic director, you have to question. Right? Hey, two sports make money. Okay? And I know Tennessee had a great year this year in baseball, but why is the baseball coach making $3 million a year? The team is in the red. Why is he making $3 million a year? They could lose every game and be in the red. They could win every game and be in the red. I don't mind him making a healthy salary, but from a budget point of view, why is he making $3 million a year? I mean, I'm talking about common sense budgeting here. Like, Mike Gambino, I think, is a great baseball coach. Think the world of Mike, and I hope Mike can get as much money as he can make. But the Tennessee coaching job was revealed as to how much money he makes. Okay? So they revealed it was $3 million. They lose money. Why is he making $3 million?
Because they're one of the best programs in the nation. They don't want to lose him.
Okay, but no offense, while it's great, okay? Why? I don't get it.
Well, I think these are the questions that are obviously coming in the next couple of years.
I don't understand at all. Like, for example, again, this is, I always go back to the Ford Lincoln Mercury comparison. Okay, so let's go over to Sunbury Motors. They have Ford, right? Okay, well, there's Ford, Lincoln. Well, where's the Mercury? Where?
The annals of history.
Right. Why?
Didn't sell.
Exactly. Didn't sell enough. That's real world business. That's real world business right there. And some of these things that happen where I just sit back and go, like, okay, Jim Schlossnagel. Okay, we'll stick with baseball for a moment. Leaves Texas A&M. Great run, right? Reunites with Chris Del Conte at Texas. And you sit there, and his salary is $2.68 million. Texas baseball doesn't make money. Now, whatever Cale Sanderson is paid is worth every dime because Penn State wrestling is so dominant. And what they won now, 11?
Yes.
After a while, it won 11. It's done nothing but make the university look great. So there's a domino effect to that. But it's not like these guys are winning 11 national championships. I'm just talking about from a pure budget point of view. Budget. Now, the football stuff at Texas, the football stuff at Tennessee more than takes care of it. But now you're doing a talent fee to raise money for other, you know, to pay the athletes, which you're going to have to. It's court ordered. And to me, I got to take a long, hard look at the rest of my budget to make sure I'm not overspending in other places, so I can make up for it internally as well as doing something like this.
I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about when we were talking about it last hour. I think, you know, if they don't settle and they end up getting a judgment against them, they're going to have to redo their budgets and everything. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think that the Olympics, you know, the years of those baseball coaches making them, even some of the women's basketball coaches, you know, that, you know, I think, you know, that's where it's going to come from eventually, is they're going to have to figure out a way to make back some of this money at some point.
Yeah. Let's see. Tennessee has 20 male and female varsity sports. 20. Penn State is 31. 31. And so Penn State is 31. And Tennessee has 20. And we know that Tennessee football made $75 million. Okay, that's what they, you know, a profit of $75 million. Okay. And it's hard when you sit there and you happen to be a fan. And you see somebody with a $75 million profit, and you're asking yourself, okay, wait a minute. You know, where'd the money go?
I mean, I forget who said it during the summer. They said they didn't have one of the ADs said they didn't have a revenue problem, they had a spending problem.
Right. And again, okay. This is not to pick on the guy, okay? I'm not, all right? But when you're sitting there and the baseball coach, who's done a great job, not a good job, great job, okay, makes that kind of money, you're like, okay. So let me see. I've got Tennessee called up here. Let's see if I can continue. Okay. number of participants. Let's get to the cash here. Okay, coaching staff salaries, revenues versus expenses. Okay. Paid. So, men's basketball makes, let's see, that's game day expenses. Total revenue by team. Football made $137 million. Men's basketball made $19 million. Okay. Head coaches' salaries, that's fine. So that's the revenue. Okay, where's the expense part of it? Summary of subset expenses, don't care. Total expenses for teams. It's total. I need it broken down, though. Total revenue for football, $137. Total revenue for men's basketball, $19.1. Total revenue for women's basketball is pretty healthy, $3.2. That's not bad. Okay. Where's the expense line, though? I got grand total for expenses. So they ended up $11 million in the black when they totaled everything up for every team. But that's the part. Let's see here. Expenses. Here we go. Basketball, it was $4 million. Men's basketball is $3.5 million in the black. Football was $75 million in the black. Okay, women's basketball made $3.2 million. How much of a profit do you think they made, Todd?
$100,000.
Tennessee women's basketball lost $4.3 million. Ooh.
I would say, if I was going to guess a women's program was profitable, I would say Tennessee or UConn, but...
Exactly. That's my point. Like, people don't realize, like, if you sit down and just take 30 minutes and you want to know what's going on financially, that tells you everything. It tells you everything. Right? And that's why you've got to take a long, hard look at budgets. And they're an organization that has 20 sports and not 31. See, you know, that's where I would have a question. Sure, I'd love the fact that, you know, I want to see great, great baseball. Do I want to pay my baseball coach $3 million or $1 million? Right? In other words, I'd pay him $1 million. That's a pretty good salary, last I checked, you know. I mean, it's right up there with what the suit makes. What? No? All right, wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.